Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Woohoo! Bears winter opener, Mr. David. And really, there's a lot to talk about, but the headline is a victory. Let's take it and run like a thief in the night.
Morning, Mole. Yes, it is a happy Monday in Chicago. The Bears are undefeated, and it was the beginning of a new era. Absolutely, we said it all week, the beginning of a new era, but it looked like something very old and familiar. That is the way the Bears won the last time they were very good. They did it with their defense and their special teams and a quarterback that they carried across the finish line.
You said, you wrote a flashback to 2006, and I got to tell you, that is, believe it or not, the last time a Bears quarterback has thrown for less than 100 yards and the team still won a game. That happened with Rex Grossman.
So that's the good news and the bad news. The good news is that you have a defense and special teams that are good enough to produce all the points that you need. Yesterday, there was not an offensive touchdown. The bad news is the offense looked like it's really struggling right now, and you have a rookie quarterback that played the part. He'll get better. The offense will get better. Meanwhile, you feel very encouraged because that defense was ferocious in the second half. They made adjustments that mattered, and the special teams had the pivotal play. The block punt changed the air in the room. Everything about that stadium was uplifted. It was so deflating, Soldier Field at the time. And then Daniel Hardy, of all people, blocks the punt.
Yep.
Jonathan Owens vaults across the finish line.
I'll look at you.
Or the goal line. Scores a touchdown. Bears win. Lot to talk about. Lot to digest. But the bottom line is when you play like that at times yesterday, as bad as the offense was, you pull out a victory, it's very encouraging.
Look, you know, we'll get into it and we'll talk about it and pick apart what went wrong with Caleb Williams, where the problems were. The Bears offensive line, a lot went wrong. We'll get into all of it. But the takeaway is that they won the battle in terms of turnovers. And the reality is that pick six is the game winner because the quarterback, instead of eating the ball, makes an awful play and tries to do something you can't do. Say whatever you want about the performance of the quarterback. The fact that they protected the ball on offense is really the reason they won the game. And I know it was close. I know there were times when you doubted that, but Mr. David, huge that they weren't the team with the incredibly insane pick six play at the end.
That's exactly
the game.
Right, Mully. You want to oversimplify it, but that's the right place to start. It was a microcosm of the game. You had one quarterback with Will Levis who tried too hard to make something happen and paid the price dearly. That was that pick six should never have left his hands. Take the sack, live to take another snap, and you don't fall behind. And the Titans would have been in that game in the fourth quarter. He doesn't. Tyrique Stevenson made him pay, 43 yards touchdown. Caleb Williams, meanwhile, he didn't help the Bears win necessarily, but he didn't get him beat. He did the minimum. He cleared the minimum bar. You didn't turn the ball over. What did we talk about coming in? Ball protection. And so he protects the football. He'll get better at the other stuff, but that Will Levis mistake cost them the game.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be the quarterback that says that at the end of the day. And so that defense created three fourth quarter takeaways. Three fourth quarter turnovers. If you have three in one day, it's a good day. Three in one quarter is unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, it was really, and you can speak to this more than I can, but watching the game, the crowd, the noise of the crowd, the reaction of the crowd, the level of excitement to begin the game, the level of disappointment at various spots in the game, the boo birds coming out early.
They were there.
They're there for sure.
They were there, and I understood it.
Yeah, I understood every reaction that was there and the disappointment people felt and the whole nine yards.
But this was really, you talk about ebbs and flows and ups and downs. So you had the fever pitch that Jim Cornelius created. The anthem was spectacular. Mm-hmm. It was one of those moments you were like revved up and
he's
just
so good.
You feel fortunate to be at a place and the Chicago sports scene, that was as good as it gets. So then, obviously, struggles the first half. The offense looks bad. Caleb Williams looks overrated. All the things that people were grousing about and eventually booing about.
Right.
And then the air comes out of the building because, you know, the Titans look like they were going to, you know, they took a 17-0 lead. It's very difficult at halftime. And then the block punt. Daniel Hardy blocked the punt and it's like somebody lit a match.
Yeah.
So then everybody starts going back and standing up and getting back into. So you felt that wave of momentum and enthusiasm. And then it leveled off a little bit. And then the fourth quarter, it was just a great atmosphere, electric at times. And I think people sense that when you play defense the way the Bears can play defense and the way they vowed and willed themselves back into that game defensively, that's exciting, and fans can get behind that. So it was a Bears victory. It was a vintage Bears victory. Didn't expect to win that way, but they'll take it.
Yeah, it is the kind of thing, you know, there's a statistic out there. We've talked about it before. When you score a touchdown off a blocked punt, it's like one of the highest win percentages out there. It's like 80%. It just represents domination. So it didn't stun. Once they got that play, you felt they were going to score again. But, honest to God, they needed the pick six because they weren't going to do it on offense.
They weren't going to do it on offense. And I kind of glossed over the low point emotionally at the stadium on Sunday. And that was when Velus Jones kicked the ball around like he was playing for the Chicago Fire. If you're going to kick the ball at Soldier Field, it better be for a goal. Or be Mr. Santos kicking two field goals. Velus Jones booting that kickoff return, it made the emotions plummet at Soldier Field. And everybody was asking the same question. What is he still doing here?
Yeah, I was proud of Velus Jones.
Oh, no. No, he did not. He didn't. No. Listen, here's the thing. Like, Velus Jones, say whatever you want about him. And we watched Hard Knocks and we heard all that thing and we heard the special teams coordinator stand there, Richard Hightower, and say he's a core four special teamer. But the reality is, you can say that all you want, but in one of those things, he's already fumbled so much as a punt returner that you can't use him. And in the first game of the season, he had to be benched as a kickoff returner. Mm-hmm. Because not only did he drop the ball, but he kicked it. David, as you well know, this is the new kickoff rules are one of the big stories of opening weekend. Everyone's looking at it. Everyone's doing stories about it. And everywhere I went in my travels, I saw DeAndre Carter returning the ball to the 30. Incredible. One of the big plays off kickoffs. And Velus Jones kicking the ball to the 30 so the other team could jump on it was shown just as much.
Because it was both extremes. You had one guy doing his job well and one guy losing his job, essentially. And DeAndre Carter should be the answer to that question, who returns kicks for the Bears. Velus Jones, when he made the roster, we had a lot of conversation. I could make the arguments when we made him at the time. Look, it's a very fluid thing, the roster management.
Sure.
Last week it made sense. This week it no longer does. Velus Jones kicked his way off the roster, in my view, because you can't take that chance again.
You can't trust him.
You can't trust him. You can be proud of him. He may have kept his head up. He may have gone back and had the resolve. You handed him football
five
again.
5 yards on a run. Way to go.
At your own risk.
If he had dropped that ball.
Oh, my gosh.
David.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They would have been calling for everybody's job.
If someone offered you a fourth-round pick for him, you're insane you didn't take it.
1 week later, comma. Yeah.
He's on the phone. Hey. Remember that?
Hey, remember that fourth round pick you offered me? I'll take a six. Yeah. Well, I'll pay for his, you know, cab fare. I just don't think you can. Here's the thing: you come out of yesterday feeling like the Bears are very good from in terms of their playoff legitimacy.
Yeah.
In terms of having the season that's going to be relevant, when you have a defense that special and special teams that are that serviceable, you figure offense is going to catch up. You can't mess around by giving guys opportunities. Nobody should be on scholarship here.
No one.
Velus Jones cannot derail what else is going right with the Bears. So one guy cannot be bigger than the program, and he can't be moving forward.
And the problem is that's an unforced error. That's the problem. There's no way to trust someone who in that moment can make a mistake that glaring that is also that damaging. You're down 7 points. You do that, you're down 10 points. I mean, goodness gracious, you can't have that happen.
You cannot. So they remedied that. If you put DeAndre Carter back there, I think you got pretty solid special teams.
Yep.
And luckily for the Bears and Richard Hightower, the special teams coordinator, the blocked punt carried the day.
Yep.
It made not the fumble by Velus Jones a moot point because it led to 3 points in a game that, you know, that was looked like it was going to be one of the differences. But your special teams recovered. And
DeAndre Carter's return got you another field goal. Special teams scored 10 points in the game, and you won the game by 7. Just do the math.
Your offense needs some work. Your running game was too spotty. And I think that part of it is always a product of how much do you have the football. 53 snaps, it's hard to get an identity going. It's hard to get a lot of things going. Yep. Biggest concerns for me coming out of the Bears opener offensively, you might not be surprised. It's not necessarily Caleb Williams. I'm very concerned about the offensive line. That rotation at right guard, you had a center in Coleman Shelton that was way too noticeable. I wanted to just talk about how he snapped left-handed, not how he got used at the line of scrimmage. Your offensive line was a problem yesterday.
Okay, and I'm not going to argue that because I think that is the case, but you also have to be very aware of your opponent and what the strength of that team is. And we knew coming in that Jeffrey Simmons had done a lot of talking and didn't like the fingernail polish and all that stuff. I mean, he talked about it before the game. I think what we failed to talk about was Devondre Sweat.
We did.
And that guy.
Never again.
Holy. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like by the end of the year, but that guy was voted the best defensive lineman in college football. He was a second-round pick. He's a rookie. Let me tell you something. The takeaway is whenever you get the chance, you draft a guy named Sweat.
That's a good takeaway.
Period, end of story.
That's a good takeaway.
Guy's name is Sweat?
Yeah,
draft him.
Take him.
He's a defensive lineman.
Whatever
I'll take
the round.
Him.
First round, second round, whatever round. Montez Sweat wasn't as noticeable in the stat sheet, but as you pointed out before the show, and I'm sure on your post-game show, he got a lot of attention that benefited others. And when we talk about Daryl Taylor having 2 sacks instead of including a strip sack fumble that was huge.
The huge.
You play. Wonder what effect it had with Montez Sweat getting the attention that he has earned and the respect that every team will give him. What does that do for the opposite side? We spent all summer talking about the opposite rusher of Montez Sweat making impact. What happened in week one? The rusher opposite Montez Sweat made an impact.
Well, what's extraordinary is you make a trade and you bring that guy in. Like, you go through the whole summer, and then right before cuts, like literally at the end of these cuts, you make that trade, you bring in a guy, and it looks like they found a guy that can rush the passer on the other side. He's kind of a one-trick pony. By all accounts, that's an incredible trick he can perform.
Yes, you want to have that trick. If you can have one,
if that guy,
that's a good one.
What is it?
He's
on pace for 34 sacks?
I think you could do the math. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That would be a record.
They had 30 last year.
He would set the record.
That's pretty
impressive.
I loved
Flus after the game when he was asked about Taylor. He had the answer that everybody watching the Bears wanted to hear. What is this guy about? Energy. Energy.
Yeah.
You want your pass rushers to be... They can't be the guy who are laid-back introverts. You want your pass rushers to play like their hair's on fire.
Yeah, see ball, get ball.
Yes.
I mean, that's you just want a guy.
He's been here 5 minutes.
He's been here, like, you're so right. I'm sure a lot of people can't spell his name.
Exactly.
Because it's been misspelled already.
Well, he was tailor-made for the Bears defense, let's say that.
Well, it's well said, and... you know, I think going back to the greatest concerns, which, of course, the interior of the offensive line was frightening, you got to remember that that you're talking about a guy that is on a one-year deal for $3.6 million. I think he's a 1.7 cap hit, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're the two guys that you're rotating have got to play better, especially Nate Davis, who would have been a guy that they knew pretty well, played for Tennessee, and Simmons was ready for – he was talking about couldn't wait to play against him, that kind of thing.
So, I wonder, though, when you talk about Nate Davis,
yeah,
we've spent a lot of time talking about Nate Davis as a Bear and wondering about his psyche. And I have to wonder that yeah. when he is essentially a healthy scratch for every series he sits,
yes.
what that does to his psyche. Because this is a proud veteran, paid a lot of big guarantee, going against his former team. I know it's a little thing, but you can't imagine he's in the right state of mind when he's watching Ryan Bates play instead of him, and there's nothing wrong with him on the sidelines. That's not ideal moving forward. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think you want a rotation at any position on the offensive line.
Didn't they do that last year? Didn't they rotate? I think they rotated somebody.
They started it when Tevin Jenkins came back, I believe.
And Lucas Patrick or something?
Maybe with the beginning of the season.
It was some weird rotation at the beginning of the year. I'm sure they'll get over that, but Bates was hurt for pretty much. So they're trying to work him in.
Are they trying to phase the other one out?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, if they are, then that's
an issue. So if you're Nate Davis, yeah, exactly.
That's
you should know, hey, they're trying to replace me. You know, if you're a starting offensive lineman, you don't go every other series.
No, you don't.
Few series.
You don't.